welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. And in this episode, I am ever continuing my reach beyond the Hampton Roads area. Not that I feel obligated to, but friends, these stories are amazing. There are so many great stories of running and community and what it looks like when we bring them together. And so on this episode, I have Raz, the writer of Running Sucks 101 on Substack. You all know that I have just been ever present more on Substack, trying to get content written, doing a lot more from a religious faith-based perspective over there, and continuing to do the running as well. And it's been a great network to meet new people and to reach out and to grow, not just the Run and Rev Run Club network, but at least the people that I know and the people that I can invite on. And when I hear stories like Raz's and I see the writing that he does, again, it just made me want to get him on here even more. And so this is an awesome episode. I was so glad I was able to get him on. Raz is from out in LA, and so getting this time zone thing down is something new for me, but it was amazing to get him on. So let's dive right into this podcast. All right, welcome in, everybody. Today I'm joined by Raz, and Raz, it's great to have you. We connected on Substack, which has been great. For those of you who aren't subscribed over there, I invite you to come over, subscribe to the Run and Red Run Club, as well as subscribe to Running Sucks, which is just a great read. But Raz, I want to welcome you in today and start where I start with all of my guests. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Thanks for having me, Andrew. It's a pleasure. My community, that's an interesting question because I have several. I have a, I've kind of built a few over the years. So I live in LA, California, but you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from here. So I've got a bunch of friends from London, I was born and raised in London, England. So I've got a few friends who I'm in a fantasy football league with, soccer, Premier League. And, you know, we've got a chat group with 28 of us, and there are little side chats. One of the side chats is running. So there's a dozen of us in the running side chat. And these are guys that I've been friends with, some of them for like 20 years. But, you know, we've grown up together, and now we talk about running with, you know, I talk about running with a few of them. So that's like a great little community where we like share ideas, like talk about what races we're doing, how we're training, like just stuff like that. It's really good. But then, so that's kind of like a nice, you know, old school social, like keeping in touch with old friends, but also sharing new ideas about running. But then through Running Sucks, I found this whole new community. I interview people that I think are cool in the running world. And so I've, through talking to them and sharing ideas with them during interviews, I've made amazing new connections there who have also kind of made a whole new little community. You know, some of them are coaches, some of them are influencers, some of them are just like people building great communities themselves. So I've grown within that, within the global, the running world. I've built another little personal community there. But both of those are kind of like virtual online communities, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then I have my real life, you know, my IRL community here in LA. You know, I've got friends here who I run with every week. I've got my own run club here in Glendale, the Glendale Runners, and I see the same folks every Tuesday morning. My running community is vast and varied and kind of all encompassing, but it's very rewarding.
And it sounds like from various different stages in your life as well, you know, you started the conversation at, you know, your fantasy football league, which for us Americans is a very different thing. Now, I played fantasy Premier League, so I understand what you're talking about.
But if anybody's listening, it is quite fun if you are a fan of football or, I guess, soccer, as we call it here in the States. Mm-hmm. But then moving from that, where you're talking about running, to running sucks, where you're writing and talking about running, to having your own community, what sort of began this drive and passion to want to run? Have you always been a runner? Have you come to running in your adult life? You know, is this something new for you? What began this sort of passion of yours that is this type of movement?
Yeah, I've been running my whole life. In high school, I like playing sports. I like playing soccer, but I wasn't very good at it. That's the kicker, right? Like when it mm-hmm. comes to joining the school team, I wasn't good enough. And so it's like, what can I do? The athletics team, the track team, they took me with open arms, you know, because mm-hmm. I was pretty fast anyway. Like I wasn't bad at playing soccer, just I wasn't as good as everyone else. And so I joined the track team, because I was interested in being active at a young age. Like I liked running around, you know. I was also very much a nerd, very bookish, but I enjoyed running around. And so joining the track team, running the 400 meters, running cross country, anything up to like 4 miles, 6 kilometers, however you want to measure that. But I really enjoyed the 400 meters because it was so difficult. It was so difficult. Mm. You know, it's just sprinting for a minute flat. Yeah. Out it's an unreal feeling. I tried to do it now as a 41-year-old, and it's a killer. Just, you know, trying to run a quarter mile as fast as you possibly can, like, wow. But through that, I was going to track meets with the school to like some pretty cool historic prestigious tracks around London, and you mm-hmm. know, I was meeting Olympic athletes like Linford Christie shot the start gun once. He's an Olympic gold medalist, and I met him. That was cool. Like go and play soccer. I wasn't the soccer team wasn't meeting people like that. They were just going to another school and playing football for a couple of hours. But I was there meeting real Olympians. So
yeah,
that was kind of a really cool byproduct of being a remainder. And then it just carried on from there. You know, I kind of took a break from being active while I was at university, because university was a wonderful place to party and to discover.
Yeah.
that's a common thing, but I leaned into that. It was the first step in the next stage of my life.
Oh man, I can definitely empathize with that 400. I was a miler and 2 miler in high school, but occasionally when they needed an extra set of legs in the 4x4, I'd have to jump in. And I think I normally ran like the second or third leg, whichever leg gets you the least amount of, like, where you actually only run like 390 meters. But I never could get that top end speed to really behave. But mm-hmm. I think we see from a young age how running becomes such an institutional part of your life, and even grows out of this love for movement. But, you know, you talk about going to university, and I think listeners will have kind of heard from some of the other guests the way that kind of college, university, you know, changes and shifts things. And that becomes a point of community where the community takes over the running. But mm-hmm. now you've kind of made the pendulum swing back sort of towards the middle, where it looks like from, you know, what I've seen about you is you have this great mix of running and community, where you're involved both in your local running community, as well as it seems like the worldwide running community. So let's kind of back up into, you know, running in LA. You know, when did you, I guess, really more so, I guess, when did you come to the States? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what did starting a running group in Los Angeles look like? So I think for a lot of us, you know, I know what it takes to start in a running group, but I'm starting a running group in like Hampton Roads, Virginia, in Virginia Beach. You're starting a running group in like one of the biggest cities in the country. Yeah. So what's it been like for you building on top of that? What did it look like for you to move to the United States, mm-hmm. have running become a part of your life? And then what did it look like for you to kind of start these groups and clubs?
Yeah, right. Well, I moved here. It will be 10 years in September that I moved to LA. And when I moved here, I used running to get to know the city because LA is, it's enormous. It's enormous. Like in terms of like geographically, spatially, it's huge. There are so many different neighborhoods, you know, 88 different cities or, you know, neighborhoods and whatnot. So I started running 5Ks and 10Ks all over the place to get to know the place. So like downtown in Hollywood, in Santa Monica, in Griffith Park, you know, wherever there was a race that was being organized, I was signing up to. I was running a couple of months, but you know, that really helped me to understand the makeup of the city, both, you know, in terms of you know, the vibe, but also like I know the streets of downtown Los Angeles like the back of my hand because I've run through them. It helps connect all the dots, you know. But then I started, once I'd done that, I also started finding run clubs because at all these races, you see people wearing the singlets, wearing the shirts, saying, oh, what's that? Like, I should go run with them. That sounds like fun. So I've been running with run clubs pretty much for, you know, over 9 years in LA. Again, it's all trial and error, finding the right club for me. And, you know, I find the right people. But then, you know, I bought a home and I was like, okay, so this is where I live. This is my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a run club right here, you know, on my doorstep. You know, sure, like driving 10 minutes isn't a great stretch, but you know what's better? Walking 5 minutes. So I just thought I would start my own. You know, more in my mold. So Tuesday mornings, Glendale Runners, 7 a.m., which is, you know, it's not for everybody. A lot of social run clubs, a lot of community clubs are evening clubs. You know, I run with the LA Craft Runners. They meet at a different brewery every Tuesday night. And so we go run 3 miles and then have a beer afterwards. And it's, you know, a little bit of local beer tourism, but you also get a workout in. And I like that, but also I do like running in the morning because LA gets so hot, you know? So, trying to run early in the day to beat the heat is, something that I was very interested in doing. So I just made a run club that allowed me to do that. It keeps me accountable.
And so aside from the morning aspect that you talk about wanting to run in the morning, and so starting a run club that runs in the morning, what are some of the other things that you learned from going to different run clubs around LA that you really wanted to instill in Glendale Runners?
Yeah. So being consistent, being reliable, because, you know, if you're starting a run club, you are starting a community. And so being the leader of a community, you have to be accountable. You have to be responsible. You have to be, you know, building a community, it can't be about you. It has to be about the community. And I've seen through other run clubs, it's not always that way. A lot of run clubs are, you know, just maybe built without too much thought gone into it. So I was quite determined to put thought into it, make it proper from the start. You know, one of the big things I do, because, you know, I'm a USATF certified running coach. So I have that background in terms of actually, you know, the practice of running. I want to encourage new runners, and my run club to be a safe space for new runners. And that was really important to me. And I think I've done that, you know, started with, two pace groups. So I partnered I found Ezra who lives nearby to be my co-captain. And so we could have two pace groups. We have one faster one, I guess, like 10 minute mile, nothing too speedy, but they go 4 miles. And then the other one is, 12 to 14 minute miles, we do about 3 miles. Both pace groups run for about 45 minutes. So that's kind of it. Come and run for 45 minutes on a Tuesday morning. It's comfortable. No one's left behind. It's a, you know, it's a thing that you can do on a Tuesday morning and leave feeling good. That's the goal.
And for a lot of us, I feel like when we come into that space, there's such a nervousness of coming in, of being new, of doing something mm-hmm. different, especially yeah. if we're not familiar with the community. And so mm-hmm. in both in what you seek to project as a run club leader, but then also even in those run club experiences you had early on in LA, what was that feeling like for you of either somebody new coming into Glendale Runners, or mm-hmm. what was it even like for you as you are going and exploring these other run groups as well?
Yeah, it can be very daunting going there, doing anything on your own. Like, you know, it's like going to a party where you don't know anybody. It's you stand in the corner and hope it turns out okay, right? And it's the same thing. You turn up and, you know, I'm talking to X, Y, and Z about, you know, what we did last week and whatever. That can be intimidating to somebody who has no, you know, knowledge to share with us about something that we've done together. And so I know who is new. I know faces. I know everyone who runs with my run club. And so if there's someone new, I will make a point of going up and welcoming them, asking a little bit about them, you know, asking what they're, you know, how they run, what they like to run, just reassure them, introduce myself, mm-hmm. introduce them to the group. And, you know, we get about 15 to 20 people every Tuesday morning, and we get one or two new ones every week, but it's a rotating cast. People come back. And so if I always say that if you look at it from a business point of view, like if that was your business, having return customers every week, that means that you've got a good product. So I'm happy with it. But it's not a product. I'm not selling anything.
Well, but I think, and you know, I wrestle with this all the time too, as a fellow run club leader myself, is, mm-hmm. you know, it's not something that you're necessarily selling, but it's something that you're passionate in. And sure. I think that there's this idea of wanting others to both see the passion that you're putting into it, mm-hmm. and then to also experience some semblance of that passion for themselves as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love my run club, and I love kind of what we built at this brewery here in Hampton Roads. And when people come in, I want them to experience the fun aspects of what I've experienced and to bring them in. And that's also something that I've looked for in going to other run clubs too, is like, man, how like pumped up are people about this run club? Like, are they as sold on this run club as I'm as sold on mine? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you're right. It's not like a product, but it is definitely a passion. And I think mm-hmm. when our passion is seen in these groups, especially as leaders, that puts forth something so much more, especially as we're seeking to like engage all of these other people in these passions as well. And what, you know, you talk about 15 to 20 people, and not always necessarily having like the same, I would say like the same collection of people. Like it's different people. It's the same number of people every week. It's like different people every week. Yeah, people come twice a month. People mm-hmm. come every week.
That's it.
So what has been sort of the joys that you have seen through this group so far? How long have y'all been around?
About 7 months. We've been going about 7 months.
Okay. Really new.
Yeah, pretty new. The joys that I've experienced, I think people have made friends within the group. You know, they've been like people have made real friends through running together. And I think that's really cool. Like the whole point of community is to connect with other humans, right? And it's important. It's an important thing. So actually providing a space where people can build their own like micro communities for themselves, that's amazing.
And so then, I mean, that kind of is a great jumping off point to kind of explore this other passion you have, in Running Sucks, which, by the way, is a great name for a running newsletter. Because, like, I mean, as much as I love running, I often think to myself, man, this sucks. I wish no. and so where did this passion come from? Because there's kind of a meshing, and that's kind of one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on. I saw the piece that you wrote on Chinatown runners out of New York, and just saw the way that you shared these stories about running communities, saw your passion about running communities. And so what was sort of the nudge forward to do Running Sucks, to start a running newsletter on online?
I guess it's simple and complicated. I've always been a writer, you know, like that is like professionally and recreationally. And I've always been a runner. In my 20s, I was a music journalist. So I guess I combined two passions there, writing and heavy metal. So, but then I stopped that because I was slightly burnt out. I was maybe not enjoying the music quite so much. But then I got the itch again to write about something I loved writing about. So I was like, what do I love doing? What do I care about? What is the culture that I'm immersed in? And it's running. Yeah. It's running. I care a lot about running. I think running is great. But in the moment it sucks. And so I came up with this concept. I missed speaking to cool people is kind of the crux of it. So, you know, it's like, oh yeah, great. It's one thing being in the same room as Metallica or Machine Head, sure. But then there are those same kind of characters in the running world. And so I wanted access to them. How do I do that? Mm-mm. Interview them and talk to them, get their insights, find stories like Vic Lowe of Chinatown Runners, someone who's doing amazing stuff in their community, building and repairing community. And it's so cool. Like I get to do that. You know, the Running Sucks bit is, I do try to use the coaching side of my personality to make things better. Like, so if someone's reading my work, they might see something. Running sucks in this very particular way. And I will try to give a solution, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, oh, I get bored while I run. The easiest way is to listen to music or go run with a friend, or even deeper and think more, like think deeply while you're running, like, do a diagnostics check on your body to see where there's a little bit of pain. And then you can solve that afterwards. It might make the next run slightly less painful, slightly more enjoyable. It's all about that, like incremental improvements to your life through running.
Yeah. And how much of your ideas in writing come from your own experiences in running, whether it's your personal experiences or even just listening to others who you're running with?
Every day is a constant stream of inspiration. You know, I hear what people are talking about, or like posting about, and you know, that'll give me an idea, a spark of an idea that I'll follow up on. You know, this week I'm writing about, the death of classified ads in local newspapers, you know, but I'm also writing about running. So I like to do that. I like to, you know, kind of have a mild agenda that I care about and find the person who is maybe solving that I can relate that to real life, like, or not real life, running is real life, related to non-running life.
Yeah. Well, and it gets me thinking even more, especially, you know, having read a lot of your articles and looking and seeing the way that you have crossed something seemingly as simple as running, right? Just putting on a pair of shoes and going out the door, and have connected it to the real life around us. It's not just about putting one foot in front of the other, but and I hate to kind of be a broken record, but it's the article that really got me into your work and to kind of reach out to you and also try and reach out to Vic is this Chinatown Runners, where she's talking about, you know, it's about running, but also like, it's not about running. It's about culture. It's about coming in. It's about making themselves known. And so how has this, I mean, you talk about coming from a writing background, but how does this sense of writing about running, but also writing about other real life experiences come about? And what does it mean for you to be able to share these stories? Because what I see is an opportunity to learn from these stories, to say, okay, here I am in my little bubble, but my little bubble is a little bubble.
Yeah.
And there's so much more going on, and I can do stuff with this platform that I have. And so where has that come in from? How have you noticed that begin to play out in all of this as well?
I think a lot of that comes from kind of going back to my music journalism days. You get these bands who are doing promo because they've got a new album out. They've got a new tour happening. And you can't just talk about the album. You can't just nerd out about the chord structure on song number three. But I find that kind of boring. I'm not a music theorist. I just like listening to the music. I like going to the shows. What I want to know is about the person. You know, I want to know what makes them tick. I want to know what life experiences led to them making their music, making their art. And it's the same with running. Running is real life, and these are real people that are doing these things, organizing their communities, that are, you know, mixing up the whole world to make their little world. And so I want to know the things that led to them creating what they're creating, led to them running where they're running, or how far they're running, or who they're running with. Because it's easy just to, you can just make a list of who's running where and with whom, but actually finding out why and connecting the dots to something bigger than the narrow column of running, I find that fascinating.
And so as you're looking for folks who are sharing these stories, who have these experiences, what are some of the ideas that you're thinking about and looking for? What, you know, are you looking for people who kind of are in the same mold that you're coming from in terms of Glendale Runners, where you're looking for folks with those deep stories who are coming together, who are building community? Because, and I want to go back to this quote that you said, it can't be about you. It has to be about the community.
Yeah.
And so how much of a role does that play in then your writing about running? Because you clearly are not, you're writing about running, but you're also not writing about running.
Correct.
And it's this, it really is this intersection of running and community. And so how are you looking for these stories? How are you finding these stories? How are you, you know, helping to embody the personality of these communities and the stories?
I can't tell you that because I don't know. All I know is I can't tell you my exact process because I don't know it. All I can do is remain curious and, you know, actually retain a desire to find out things, anything. I just have a desire to learn. I want to know about people. I want to know what your favorite beer is at the brewery you run with, you know? I've been waiting to ask that question for a few minutes. but it's that kind of thing. It's like, I want to go from there. Like, do you try a different beer every time you go? And then, you know, find out where that love of beer came from, why you want to base your community around that. It's stuff like that. Like, just a desire to know and understand. And, you know, yes, sure, I have my own agenda, I have my own politics and all of that. And sure, some of it's guided by that. But I've written things that have annoyed my regular readers. You know, I wrote about the enhanced games and, you know, had a couple of people saying, they couldn't believe that I platformed the enhanced games. I was like, I think it's interesting. It's a real thing. I think more people than ever in everyday life are taking performance enhancing drugs, or that they're enhancing their bodies in some way. even if it's even if it's something as normal as Botox. You know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be Ozempic. It doesn't have to be, you know, steroids, anabolics and whatnot. It can just be like Botox is a body enhancement. And that's so normal now. It wasn't 20 years ago. So what's going to be normal in 20 years time? You know, it just takes talking about it to understand why it's becoming normal. You know, whether it's safe, you know, I really believe in talking about things to, so that people can make the best decisions for themselves, you know, in that regard. But yeah, back on topic. Yeah, I just have a curiosity. So I just, I'm always reading. I'm always looking for people and trying to figure out what they're doing and, take it from there. If I find them interesting and I've still got questions, then I will get in touch and ask them those questions.
Yeah. And I think that curiosity is often something that there's a yearning for in our running communities. And to see that curiosity almost implants within us this, you know, desire to continue, right? You talk about when you got to LA, you know, what's the best way to explore the city? It's running. You know, I numerous times when I go on vacation with my family, I am known to, you know, get up and do my early morning runs and just run around wherever we are because I love to explore, and I've found amazing and wonderful things in exploring places where my family and I will go visit. You know, one time we were in Pigeon Forge in Tennessee, and I found like this little hole in the wall ice cream joint on my morning run and was able to, like, you know, we went and got ice cream that night. So I'm like, oh, I found this great ice cream place. Well, I don't know if it's actually great, but I found an ice cream place.
It looked cool, right? Yeah.
It looked cool. Yeah. And so I think that curiosity is something that, I mean, it really is interesting how it can drive our passions in the running community forward, because, and even just to say that my curiosity in the running community has driven me to reach out to, like, I mean, just like you reaching out to other people, me to reach out to you, to reach out to folks, to hear their story, to engage with them. Because when, for me, when I hear these stories, when I talk to people about community, when I engage in that desire to learn, you know, I feel like I'm also doing a service to the greater community, because it allows that space for us all to grow together. You know, even when I was in high school, I felt like I was just a student of this sport. I loved to run. And like you, you know, I played soccer and I did a bunch of other sports, but, you know, running, I really became a student of, and I just wanted to learn so much about what drove people, what's, you know, happening in folks' lives, even thinking about, you know, the Olympics coming up and, you know, what is it like 3 days now?
3 days,
you know,
yeah.
All right. What are the stories that are happening? And like, what can we tell about these folks? And, you know, to bring that sort of curiosity into our run scene, really, I think implants that idea of community together, where, you know, my story meets your story, meets this story, meets this story. And it really allows us to kind of relate to all of these communities all over the place.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the landscape, well, let me answer your questions real quick. Cause you are a journalist after all, but, so I love a good IPA. The brewery that I go to called Momac, they have an amazing double IPA that I love to drink called Strata out of P-Town. Nice. But I am known to try all sorts of beers. Everybody at the Run Club knows, like, if there's a new beer on tap at the brewery, like, Andrew's trying it. He is refining his palate. He knows and understands, which is interesting because, like, I'm not a brewer by trade at all. I have no, like, training in it, but I have just, I love the flavor profiles of beers. I love the way different things taste. I definitely have my favorites, but I definitely also like try a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that kind of drives me in that realm as well, is because there becomes this intermixing where, you know, I can take two of my passions where it's like, I love to run and I just love good beer. And the Brewery Run Club kind of creates a space for both of those things to happen. And for a lot of us in our run community to exist in that place. And it's naming, you know, okay, well, this is how we experience community. And to come back to where you were coming from earlier, it's like, all right, well, not everybody, you know, fits in, or this isn't their idea of what they want from a run club. and being okay with that, but also finding other ways to connect with these people. Because, you know, in a big city like Los Angeles, there are millions of runners.
but there weren't really any morning run clubs. There still aren't. Like, most of them are evening run clubs or weekend run clubs. So like Tuesday morning is, I think there are like 4 or 5 across the whole city. Then you get to a Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, there are 20, 30 around the city that you can take your pick. So, I did create it partly for myself. You know, it keeps me accountable. It means that I go for a run every Tuesday morning, which is good for me. I like it. And I'm very grateful to the other people that come to Run Club that they, you know, they kind of force it upon me. They're not forcing it upon me, but it's nice to be accountable for something. Otherwise I'll just sleep in, you know? So it's nice.
Well, and again, that's something great. Even if it's something that either you've created or something that drives you forward, I don't think that doesn't discount the growth that's happening on the other side as well, right? Because and you talk about the two pace groups, which is great that y'all offer these opportunities for people to grow as runners.
Yeah.
And so there's that side of it where it's like, all right, Raz is growing. Like, I am getting stronger as a runner, mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever it needs to mean. But I'm also doing something to help the community as well. And so as you look off and you kind of look towards what you continue to see through both of these avenues, whether it's the Glendale Runners or Running Sucks, you know, what do you see as things that you hope to accomplish? You know, where do you hope to see these things in 3-5 years as you continue to do this work?
I really try not to look forward too far. I try to be in the moment and try to be present and try, you know, genuinely though, I try to do like what I'm doing right now. I try to do that the best I can. Growth, I don't know. Like, Running Sucks. Will it make money? Can it make money? I don't know. We'll see. Glendale Runners. I was talking about that this morning. Actually, I would just like it to still exist in 3 to 5 years. One of the run clubs that I run with just called Time after 7 years. And I get it. It's a lot of work to organize something and turn up every week. But, you know, I've been running consistently for, since 2005, I've been running consistently, like, after university. And so I don't see running leaving my life. And so I hope that I will continue this run club forever. That's the goal. Like, why not just let it exist for 30 plus years, you know, until I drop dead. So that's my hopes and dreams for the run club, to just be a consistent place, a reliable place for people to join and to be. With Running Sucks, just want more people to read my stuff. That's it.
Well, and it's great reading. I mean, if you have a chance, like, go over. I'll make sure to drop the link to Running Sucks here in the show notes.
I appreciate that.
It really is. And it's building that community out. And you know what I'm doing, I feel like when I read Running Sucks, I'm reading what my podcast is in writing form. It's like, it's such this focus on community and this focus towards, you know, what does it mean for something like running to be enjoyable? Because it's not this monolithic thing where we just go out and we run, but it's impossible to be a part of running and to not be a part of the running community. Because even if you run by yourself, you know, listeners, you'll remember when I had Paisley Landry on, you know, she was someone who was an introvert who loved to run by herself. And then all of a sudden she starts showing up to races and the community just forms naturally. You know, she just starts running into some ladies, makes friends, then starts getting involved in the community. And so it's like, it's hard to have running without community. I mean, it's probably easy to have community without running, but I like to think that community is better when running's involved. Yeah. And so to kind of bring that forward definitely helps to lift that up.
Yeah. I think it's impossible to live as an island, you know. Many people like the idea of it, the quintessential man living in a cabin in the woods, but you know, they could do that, but they also might want a dog for company. Like humans need company. Like even if it is just a dog, I'd be very happy with just a dog, but I've got a family here as well. it's just so difficult. It's so much more work to do everything for yourself on your own. So having a community, having friends, having, you know, you can take that from your family to a social community to the municipal community, you know, the doctors, the council, the city council, stuff like that. It's necessary to build a civil and equitable society. And so whatever you can do to engage in that, I think is better, even if it's minimal. Adding rather than subtracting is good.
Yeah. And I think it's a great perspective that we can bring to running in general, is that as what we give into the sport of running, we also tend to get out of the sport of running. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's great when that thing that we're offering is helping others, being there for others, supporting others in their journey. Because I even think about how that's helped me grow as a runner, not always necessarily in being faster, but definitely in being stronger together as a community. Mm-hmm. And so to offer that to others is also offering it back to me to help the community grow.
Yeah.
So Raz, let's jump into these end of podcast questions here. So what is your favorite distance to run?
The 10 kilometers, 10K.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite thing to eat post run?
Well, in the mornings, it's a coffee and an iced caramel latte. In the evenings, it's a beer. Yeah. Food, whatever's around. I'll take pizza, whether it's morning or evening. All right. There you go. Pizza.
There you go. All right. And lastly, before we go, Raz, can you give our listeners a reason to join their local run club?
Make friends. See who else is doing the same thing around you. You can find like-minded people. I've made friends for life in my local run clubs. So you can do the same.
And it's definitely those bonds that we carry forward with us, no matter where we are. But
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining, Raz. What a great conversation. So awesome to hear more about it. And like I said, friends, make sure to go and subscribe to Running Sucks. As I said, it's a great read and you can kind of see everything that he's got there. But Raz, thanks for joining today.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
Definitely.
You know, I am so glad that I was able to get Raz on this podcast to get him to share his journey, his story, where he's come from, what running has meant, how he has learned from community, how he has seen community grow, you know, and when he says it can't be about you, it has to be about the community. If you're going to be a leader in the run community, you know, you have to commit that. There is that moment and opportunity where you look at your own running journey and you see what is happening in your own running journey, but you also commit to building a community. And that is something that is just so great and inspiring and joy-filled as we just look at another example of somebody leading in their local community, leading in the running space, not just in Los Angeles where Raz is, but through Running Sucks and everything that he does through that to continue to make this sport of running grow, not just among the elites, but among us everyday runners who are just out there to have fun. So I want to thank Raz so much for coming on. Again, this was a connection that I made through Substack, and I think you're seeing a lot more opportunities where I'm making these connections. And hopefully, if you are listening to this and you have an amazing story to tell, email me, andrew@runandrev.com. And I'd love to get you on the podcast. I'd love to share your story with other folks. I'd love to hear your story more than anything else. Like, it's a joy to be able to share these episodes, but to hear a lot of these stories is great. As we go on, I'd love to encourage you to please, please help support me. Make sure that you are following or subscribing to this podcasting app. You'll see some links in the show notes on where to find that. While you're at it, while you're over, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and review. It helps the podcast to grow. It helps others to see how much you're enjoying it. On Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review on the podcast as a whole. On Spotify, they have just launched Spotify comments, and you can comment on specific episodes. I'm not sure the rollout on that, and so if it's not there, don't come after me, but keep your eyes peeled for those comments. Make sure to share the podcast as we're growing on the run and beyond. And I encourage you, if you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to subscribe to my newsletter, blog, Substack, whatever we're calling it these days, over at runandrev.com. You can even help to support me with a monthly paid membership over there on Substack. You get a couple of extra things, a couple of extra writings that are not released to the general public. You can also drop a tip. There is a link down in the comments below where you can buy me a coffee, buy me a beer, drop a tip. If you really loved this episode, make sure to head on over there and do that if you want to help to support this podcast. This podcast right now is completely supported by the fans, completely supported by you all. And what a great blessing it is to receive that support. And so I would love it if you would help to support this, help to make sure that I can keep the tracks flowing, keep the writing going, continue to bring you all this awesome content on a daily, on a weekly, on a whatever basis. And so I want to thank you so much for joining this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure, make every mile count.